So I see that argument, and where people are like, oh, you know, it's not true Bitcoin if you're not holding it, and it's not on your hardware wallet. And I just can't buy into that, because there's so many people out there that saying is you only get Bitcoin at the price you deserve. You know, I can't stand that saying, because it's not inclusive or bringing in people who don't know what they don't know, right?
Welcome to the Business Bitcoinization Show, the show dedicated to helping you enrich your life and grow your business with Bitcoin, the hardest money on planet Earth. I'm your host, Josh Friedemann, and our guest today is Doug Morton, who is the founder of Alpaca RMS, which is a point of sale and invoice management system. Today, we're going to be talking about what's changed in the last year at Alpaca, including the name, as well as some other considerations when it comes to paying with Bitcoin. Of course, before we get to our interview with Doug, we do have this week's Bitcoin Meetup Spotlight. And even before that, I'd like to thank those who have been supporting the show on Fountain in the last week. Thank you to Danilo TG and No Waste BTC Signs for streaming sats to the show, as well as Macro Build BTC, who sent 100 sats and said, great pod, great health advice about last week's interview with Dr. Mark McCall. If you would like to support the show, you can listen on Fountain and either stream sats as you listen or send a boost with a comment. And if you send a comment with your boost, I'll be sure to read it on the show. Now, this week's Bitcoin Meetup Spotlight is actually the meetup that Doug leads in Charleston, South Carolina. The Charleston Bitcoin Meetup is a group for anyone interested in the new financial technology called Bitcoin. They meet every second Saturday at noon at Charleston Distilling on John's Island. And their next two meetups will be focused on Bitcoin mining. They're extremely excited to meet and even help create new Bitcoin enthusiasts. And if you're new to Bitcoin, they'll even give you a copy of the Little Bitcoin Book so you can start out with a simple overview of Bitcoin. You can find them on Twitter at Bitcoin_CHS or on Meetup. Those links are down below, along with a link to the Oshi app, which you can use to find a Bitcoin meetup near you. Now, we're going to get to our interview with Doug right after this. Business owners, unlock the benefits Bitcoin has to offer your business with the Bitcoin for Business Quick Start Guide. This 27-page guide highlights the 6 ways you can grow your business with Bitcoin. Check it out in the show notes. Doug, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me, Josh.
So I'd like to start off every single interview with a few questions that help us to get to know you a little bit better and give us some insight for our own lives. Are you ready for these?
Let's do it.
Question number one is this. When and how did you first learn about Bitcoin?
So I had heard about it, I believe, on Silk Road. I wasn't a customer of Silk Road, but I did like to look and see what was out there and say the dark web or whatever. And I had stumbled on Silk Road and saw that Bitcoin was a thing for payment. Had no idea what it was, other than, you know, digital internet money, and didn't know how to acquire it, didn't even think about it. I guess after that shut down, I really didn't do anything about it until 2017 during the ICO craze, and basically didn't do much then either with Bitcoin. I had kind of what people think now, it's passed them by. And so I was pretty much like gambling on the altcoins. On the exchanges, trying to find a coin that had utility, sort of like in the gold rush, it was the shovel sellers that were making the money. Mm-hmm. And so I figured I'd find a utility coin that had some value to it, kind of like trying to find a stock or something. And I'd get wrecked, and I'd make some money, but I'd get wrecked again, and got tired of that cycle. And so stumbled onto Dergigi's writings on Twitter with 21 lessons of Bitcoin. And that got me down the rabbit hole almost overnight. And so since 2017 to now, you know, I've just been learning Bitcoin.
Question number two, what's an insight or fact about Bitcoin that you wish everyone understood?
My basis for being in Bitcoin is on the money exchange portion of it. I wish people knew that it was so easy to use. We get a lot of pushback for on-chain being 10 minutes or whatever, but the layer two stuff, you know, with Lightning and Liquid and all the other things that are coming down the pipe, make it instantaneous payments. And so when we actually show people how Bitcoin works on a layer two, their eyes light up. And most people aren't aware of that.
Question number three, what's the Bitcoin resource you must recommend to other people?
That's morphed over the years, but we have pretty much focused on a little Bitcoin book. So we buy it in bulk for the Bitcoin Charleston meetup and hand it out to new people. We'll sell it at shows from time to time. But generally, it's a giveaway reference that we use because it's pretty non-techie and it's got use cases on Bitcoin, and find it super easy for people that their eyes don't glaze over if they're given something harder.
Question number four, beyond Bitcoin, what's a resource, tool, or idea that's been helpful for you or your work recently?
Some of the things that we've been doing have been focused on business to business. And so it's more about just implementing tools that our customers need. And I find it fascinating because the integrations that we do, it's great technology, and then we just basically plug it in. So if somebody wants it, we'll do it. And that's the cool thing about being small with Alpaca, is that we can implement the new technologies that are out there quickly.
Now, since you're a repeat guest, we change up the final question. Usually it's the why or why not question. This time, my question to you is, what's the part of the Bitcoin rabbit hole you've been going down most recently?
That still comes down to retail adoption. So teaching people, doing outreach with the Bitcoin meetups, trying to get our marketing out there. We don't have a budget or anything, and everything that we do is organic. So we word of mouth. Trying to get our own retailers. So since I run the Bitcoin meetup and I also have a retail system that accepts Bitcoin, I try to market Bitcoin resources for my store owners so that they'll, put them on BTC Maps, put them out on the Orange Pill app, and get the word out that these retail store owners accept Bitcoin. And then on the other side of that, through the Bitcoin meetups, I'm also doing the education to show them, we can try to build this circular economy a little more organically and get people to just use Bitcoin on the street.
Today's episode of Business Bitcoinization is proudly brought to you by Velus Commerce, where the future of business technology meets Bitcoin. As we journey through the era of Bitcoin and its transformational impact on businesses, there's one name that stands out. Velus Commerce. Whether you're looking to build a cutting-edge website, a seamless mobile app, or custom software, Velus is your go-to team. They've been diving deep into the world of Bitcoin since 2014, making them one of the most experienced groups for integrating Bitcoin and Lightning payments into a variety of digital platforms. But here's what truly sets them apart. Velus Commerce doesn't just build. They bring a wealth of knowledge to ensure your project's success from day one. Their team understands the nuances of Bitcoin, ensuring that your business stays ahead of the curve. And for all business Bitcoinization listeners out there, Velus Commerce is offering a free consultation to kickstart your project the right way. So if you're ready to future-proof your business in the coming age of hyper-Bitcoinization, head over to veluscommerce.com or reach out on Twitter at Velus Commerce. Let's make sure your business thrives in the Bitcoin era. If you are hit by a bus right now, could your family access your Bitcoin? When's the right time to stop hodling and use Bitcoin to impact your family's lives, not just yours? What if Bitcoin doesn't reach the value you expect, or it takes longer to reach that value? Do you have a plan? Do you have the proper trust structure to avoid probate, maintain your privacy, and minimize taxes? Do you want to avoid taxes to stack more sats or leverage your stack without selling? Should you add Bitcoin to your business's balance sheet? Are you truly confident in your self-custody setup? If any of those questions made you stop and think, you probably realize that simply buying and holding Bitcoin is not a complete financial plan. That's where Strong Wealth comes in. Orange-pilled advisors blending traditional financial planning with deep Bitcoin expertise, giving you the best of both worlds, so you can sleep peacefully knowing you're making the right moves for your family no matter what happens. Schedule a free call at strongwealth.net. That's strongwealth.net. Strong Wealth, wealth management for Bitcoiners by Bitcoiners. So Doug, this is our second conversation, and the last one you had a different name. Now you're Alpaca RMS. I'm curious to know about the name change and what's different for your business now.
The original name was not very original. I'm not an artist at all, and so I'd come up with the name. It was BTC Retail X, and that was a mouthful, and nobody liked it. And I didn't like it either, but it was more of just a utility name, Bitcoin retail. And the X was meant for the transition between Bitcoin and the fiat world. And But I got nothing but grief for that name for a year and a half. So one of my buddies, Jacob Parrish, with out of Charlotte, he's a Bitcoiner, runs with the Parrish family out there. And he's like, let's come up with a new name. Let's vibe this up a little bit and see what we can come up with. And so he actually came up with the alpaca name. And originally, it didn't really resonate with me at first. I was like, I don't know. It's I like it, but let's keep checking it out a little bit. And so I had put the word out to a bunch of people. I said, let's come up with a name. And everything kept coming to animals. And the funny thing is that there's other point of sale systems out there that have animal names in them. And my wife kept picking those. And so I'll verify them. And I was like, well, it sounds great, but it's already taken. Mm-hmm. And so we started focusing back on the alpaca name. Didn't see it anywhere. And I ended up throwing a couple sentences together into one of the image AI creators. And it came up with the current alpaca icon, the avatar with the sunglasses. And I made them orange. And I ended up embedding little Bitcoin symbols on the eyeglasses up here.
I was going to ask about that part. Really if that was something that it came up with or you did. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So that it gave me the base image, cleaned it up. And then we started putting on stickers and just handing them out to people. And I've had zero complaints. Everybody's loved it. People ask for them now because, you know, they wear off after about 6 months or 9 months on your phone. And so I get asked for them all the time now to rebuild them. And to give them back a new copy. And so it just stuck. And now it's a great little, conversation starter when people are like, what's the alpaca from? Is that from you back in Central America, El Salvador, that kind of thing? And technically, no. Alpacas, I believe, are from Chile. But but going down the software point of view, we originally were a point of sale system, so it was strictly retail, and we would do cash and carry sales, which, you know, we would take multiple payment methods that included Bitcoin, so cash, credit card, Bitcoin. And then we ended up, over the last 6 months or so, I'd had people ask for invoicing and being able to do invoice management. And so when we were forced to one of my previous software companies that I worked for, they shut down their point of sale division, and I had to get my customers off that system and onto alpaca. These folks needed invoice functionality. So we had to basically throw all this functionality in there. When it comes to invoicing, you're talking about accounts receivables. So what do people owe you? How long have they owed you? And how are the ways that they're going to be able to pay those invoices? And so we threw all that in the mix and came up with the system that we have now that the companies that are using it find it super easy. They can send out email, e-pay links. They can text invoices to their customers. One customer has us fax them, a little old school, but that's what they use. And apparently one of their vendors requires fax, inbound faxes for invoicing. Mm-hmm. So go figure. But so the invoice and accounts receivables was a game changer because it changed our basis from a B2C, business to consumer, to a B2B, business to business. And that's a totally different sales market. And it's helped stabilize the income for sales over this time. It's just opened the doors to a bunch of different avenues that we weren't really expecting when it was just a point of sale system.
And what's your pricing structure like? I know different people take different approaches. Is it flat fee per month? Is it a percentage? How do you approach that?
That I would have to say is morphing also. Originally, I had two different price levels. So we have our retail essentials bundle, basically, which is just a point of sale. It doesn't have that invoicing functionality. And we were basically charging $50 to $60 a month per register. But I was also giving it away to micro businesses, specifically in Central America. So I was trying to help them with their organic circular Bitcoin economies down there by giving them a really nice professional business management software. And while I still do that, the reality, I think, is that I'm going in a couple different directions with the software. And so the B2B functionality in the States is more of an annual subscription, as opposed to the retail needing of a monthly subscription for like a small mom and pop. So as I learn this, because my background, I've only been doing software development for about 2.5 years. Prior to that, I was just a business consultant and tried a variety of different ways of pricing. And so I'm kind of learning on the fly what my customers want. Being a small company, I'm flexible enough to be able to make those choices.
That's really nice. So there are two things that you mentioned earlier that I'd like to talk a little bit more about. First of all, is just the general, feeling out there right now about Bitcoin in the retail space as you're talking with business owners. Have things changed since you started? Certainly the Bitcoin price has changed in the last couple of years. Are people more interested now, or is this still something where it's definitely an uphill battle? And I guess it could be both of those at the same time.
It depends on if I have a relationship with my clients. So if the orange pill of Bitcoin to retail store owners is complicated because, the ones that are kind of educated on Bitcoin from what they hear in the news or whatever, they'll bring up capital gains first. You know, they don't want to have to deal with the capital gains of taking Bitcoin and then getting it converted, from a Bitcoin wallet to cash if they need it. And which is an odd conversation because I'm surprised that these store owners are actually aware of that concept if they've never known about Bitcoin prior to this. So we try to mitigate that in two different ways. One is, the reality is that you're probably going to get less than 1% of your income in Bitcoin. And so just put it in a Bitcoin wallet and there's no capital gains. You hold it, build an asset value out of it. But two is if you need the cash flow because, they live in the fiat world, they need to pay fiat dollars, then use a third party liquidity provider such as Ibex or Zebedee, there's a handful of them out there. But things are also changing here in the U.S. because of the regulatory cloudiness that's out there. And actually, it's becoming less cloudy. It's becoming a lot more firm, and we're getting rain down here with some of this regulation, especially with Wasabi Wallet, those folks getting arrested, the Phoenix Samurai. Wallet, Samurai. Yeah. Sorry about that. And Phoenix leaving the U.S. market, Wallet of Satoshi leaving the U.S. market. And so it takes those two really good Lightning tools out of here. Right. Mm-hmm. And, Lightning is the way to go with, instantaneous payments. And so that's a little bit of a struggle right now. And because we're trying to, as we teach people about Bitcoin and want to do it on the retail level, we're also having to teach them basic Bitcoin usage. And so that goes the full gamut of, protecting your stash to using it on a Lightning wallet. And so constantly changing what Lightning wallets we recommend, and pretty much going to have to start from square one now, finding a new wallet.
Yeah. Yeah. So, the wallet conversation is a difficult one because now we, as far as I know, we don't have any custodial wallets available in the United States, at least for, from the App Store. Mm-hmm. I think there may be some others that you could, use on your computer or whatever else. And it's just, but if you want users to be spending Bitcoin, having a custodial wallet, especially when fees get sort of high, is really valuable. And we just don't have that right now. We had a halving party in Jackson, Mississippi a couple of weeks ago. And we were trying to figure out what's the best way for handing out sats that aren't, a significant chunk of sats. Let's say we're handing out 1,000 sats. We don't want people to lose half of those sats through a fee. And there's just some weird things right now that don't need to happen. We've already figured out solutions technically, but because of us living in the United States, which sounds weird, we're having a difficult time using Bitcoin effectively. It just seems strange to have to deal with this, but it's almost like in a couple of those senses, it feels like we've taken a couple steps back. And I think you've sort of just communicated that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got some issues here in the States. Freedom, I don't know about that economically. They're doing what they can to put the clamp down. my customers that do accept Bitcoin do understand it, and they, you know, they'll take a Bitcoin sticker from me. They'll want a Bitcoin accepted here stickers and put it out there on the register. We've got several out there that are actively taking it, because one being Charleston, I've got clients that our Bitcoin community goes to. So, you know, a distillery, a mulch company, a couple others. It's an uphill battle, but, you know, I'm in it for a lot more than just retail acceptance. You know, I'm in it for, you know, the functionality of Bitcoin, all the, you know, those 6 or 7 different qualities of why it makes it sound money, you know, that kind of thing. Yep. And so I'll gladly accept that and still keep on keeping on teaching people about it.
Absolutely. And to your point, you know, if you're the type of business that is you're invoicing, you probably aren't going to have to worry about, you know, losing a certain percentage of sats on a $2 purchase. And so Lightning makes plenty of sense in that type of situation. You had mentioned also about layer twos, specifically you had mentioned Liquid earlier on. I'm curious to know how your conversation about layer twos and maybe specifically Liquid, how those have been going, or how you've been incorporating those types of conversations as you've been talking to clients or potential clients.
Well, so the Liquid conversation has mainly been in-house. So I have not actually talked to anybody about it. It's more just been learning about it myself. Prior to that, everything's been Lightning, because it was so simple to use. It's, it works. And so it's, you know, like I mentioned before, this is kind of like a reboot period where I've got to find better solutions that are going to work for everybody. And, you know, the Liquid part of it is interesting just based on the conversions from the different, Bitcoin functionality that goes into it. I remember I'd seen a video by BTC Sessions, and he was showing how to avoid the fees by doing the 3-layer transfers, and thought it was really interesting. I just don't know how easy it's going to be for the average person to use it. It seemed complicated for me on a 5-minute overview I had, and I'm a techie. So we'll see. It's but I am going to be exploring it.
This might be a little bit out of your depth, is out of mind, is why I say this. I don't want to put you on the spot too much, but have you looked into how Fediments potentially could play into your offerings in the future, or other e-cash type offerings? I know those are very much early days, but have you had the chance, amidst all the other things you're doing, to look into how those might fit into what you could offer in the future? Or is that something where it's like, that's just further down the line?
It's like a roadmap issue. So it's down there and I'm thinking about it. So I've been on the Fediment beta and I do mess around with it, and I find it fascinating what they can do with it. I hope it works in the long term for getting, I guess, this integrated in a way that, makes it circular, I guess. And so the Fediment thing, it's a fascinating, you know, concept to get it out there. If that's a way to do it. So I kind of think of it as, with Bitcoin Beach and Galloway Wallet, you know, back when they first started their circular economy, they basically built a community bank. Right. And so they were helping their vendors, their mom and pop shops. They were getting their kids, they're paying them in Bitcoin to clean up the river, but they had to spend the money. So they had to also incentivize the vendors to accept the Bitcoin, knowing about the volatility. And so they basically backed it for a year or something like that and said, hey, if you get a loss, we're going to help you out. And so the Fediment kind of thing is a little similar in that way. I kind of see it as a community bank. The reality is 99% of the world doesn't know about Bitcoin or or what it is, right? The ones that do, they're in it for a variety of different reasons, whether it is like us, we're dug in and we go down every rabbit hole we can do, or if it's speculation because these folks are on ETFs and buying that, you know, that form of Bitcoin, which, you know, people are going to say, well, it's not real Bitcoin. To them, it is. And they're not going to want to invest the time into 12 or 24 word seed protection, right? And so the Fediments concept or the community bank concept, which is third party, is still valid. And, So I see that argument, and where people are like, oh, you know, it's not true Bitcoin if you're not holding it and it's not on your hardware wallet. And I just can't buy into that, because there's so many people out there that saying is you only get Bitcoin at the price you deserve. You know, I can't stand that saying, because it's not inclusive or bringing in people who don't know what they don't know. Right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Anyway, got a little off topic on that, but I do like the concept and think that it's probably the route to go with the Fediments and the, you know, eCashew and a couple of others that I've seen out there.
Yeah, I certainly echo your sentiments as far as you taking issue with you only get Bitcoin at the price you deserve, because there are a lot of people that are, you know, in the space, as they would say, you know, you're the crypto space, and you should, if you're kind of in that realm of existence, then you should take the time to understand Bitcoin. And I think a lot of people don't. They just disregard it, looking for the next big thing.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of people that are very intelligent. They're very thoughtful people, very well-meaning people. They're doing all sorts of stuff with their lives. Like, they just, for whatever reason, haven't gone down the Bitcoin rabbit hole. And I could totally have been one of those people if I didn't catch, you know, this particular podcast episode at this particular time. And so it's a little bit unfair to say that. It's easy to say it if you've purchased Bitcoin early on. But yeah, there are a lot of great people out there that need Bitcoin and they just aren't even aware of it. And they're doing great things. It's just not Bitcoin things. So, yeah, not a lot of people seem to share that sentiment, or at least they don't vocalize it. But I appreciate you saying that. I am curious to know, you know, when it comes to retail management, it's difficult, or it's a big task to change your system. So I'm guessing that as you gain people's ears, gain their attention over time, as people are preparing to switch from one service provider to another, you should be top of their list. What considerations should people bring to, like, when they should go ahead and transition, like when it makes sense financially for them to transition to Alpaca from whatever else they might have? And then also, just what are some of the benefits of going with Alpaca? Obviously, the Bitcoin acceptance is a key part of it. But I think it'd just be great for people to hear from someone who knows what they're talking about. These are some considerations you should have if, as a business owner, you want to have more Bitcoin functionality in your business.
Yeah. Well, transitioning to a new system is tedious because there's a financial, you know, friction. There's time friction. There's employee friction. And all of that weighs on a store owner. Because, you know, an average system, you know, it's probably going to cost $5,000 at least per seat. And we're talking the computer hardware, we're talking, you know, the software, any intangibles that go with that, training their employees, getting new price tags, the time involved to do all this. So it's an endeavor to go to a new system. We try to minimize it by doing free conversions from old data. So the item list, the customer database, and the vendor database, and bring that into a new system. Generally, most store owners, they freak out a little bit when they find out that we can't import historical sales data. Now, we might be able to do some summary data, but the historical detail data, like individual receipts, like this guy bought X for this with this card, that data is so complex in other systems, or the systems don't even allow access, that we can't pull that data in. I've been in retail point of sale for 20 years, and it's no system is easily compatible, and that's always a bone of contention. We do find ways to get around it, but that's usually the pain point. The average cycle through a sales cycle is 9 months for a point of sale system, from the day that we talk to somebody to the day they purchase on average. Because specifically, our customers are already in business and they're transitioning, and we have to prep for the transition. And where a new store owner, you know, they might just find an app on the iOS store or Google Play or whatever, and maybe try an app that way. And while we have an app that's out there, we find that talking to people and actually having person-to-person interactions so they can find out what our system truly does is the selling point, because we put in new features all the time. Our average, I guess we put out an update letter every month that has about 90 either fixes or enhancements or features that we're rolling out. That's the nice thing about being small business, is that we're nimble. So, you know, somebody wants it, we'll put it out there. Somebody has a bug, we'll fix it. And I find that to be a big benefit.
So I remember last time you were talking about how you had recently gone down to El Salvador, I believe, with some, I think, local politicians or maybe state representatives. I forget exactly what it was. Have you been back to El Salvador, and or are you seeing some interest develop locally, not just at your meetup, but, you know, within representatives or council people like that within your community?
I'm in South Carolina, and it's not the biggest tech state in the country. And, you know, we took our state treasurer, Curtis Loftus, okay, and we did this, I don't know what you'd call it, a trade junket, maybe. We talked to all these heads of government in El Salvador and then exchanged data back and forth. And, I think, not to put words in our treasurer's mouth, but it was basically, I think he learned from that trip, and vice versa when in El Salvador, those folks down there. What to do going forward, I'm not quite sure what they're planning on doing. The reality, though, it seems like the politicians, they're just on the current events. So, Bitcoin was a current event. Now it's AI, or now it's power usage by, not just Bitcoin, but AI computers and data centers. What's the next flavor of the month for who's going to invest money in the state, and the tax breaks that they're going to give these multi-mega corporations. So, I would consider that an uphill battle too. I'm also part of the South Carolina Emerging Tech Association. And so we're a lobbyist organization that basically tries to teach legislators about Bitcoin. But we're not Bitcoin agnostic. And so my focus is Bitcoin. But other folks in the group have other focuses as well, from AI or decentralized finance, all that other stuff. I choose not to be a part of that one because I want to put my focus into Bitcoin. Yeah. And it's kind of a mixed bag. People that we give out little Bitcoin book, they appreciate it. We do hear back from them from time to time, different state legislators. And we had a conference that we actually had to postpone, where we were bringing in some state representatives that were going to be speaking about their Bitcoin experience, either through mining themselves or energy, and trying to find the cheapest energy in the state for mining, because that is pretty relevant here. I don't know what the percentages are based on the each state by state. But South Carolina does have a pretty good mining footprint.
Well, there certainly are some uphill battles ahead of us. I think all Bitcoiners realize that. It's exciting that you've had those opportunities. And hopefully, as Bitcoin kind of becomes a trending topic, at least, once every 4 years, then people will start to catch on that it's something that is persistent enough to take seriously on a consistent basis. I appreciate all you're doing, whether it comes to Alpaca and retail adoption or just local Bitcoin adoption through the meetup. Any final thoughts before we finish up that would be helpful for people either who might want to use Alpaca in the future or just want to keep up with what you're doing?
One follow-up note on the Alpaca integration with Bitcoin. This is more relevant about, I almost want to rename this to Alpaca IMS, an invoice management system, because it seems to do much more of that. But keep in mind that we have multiple payment methods per invoice. So Bitcoin is super easy to use. It's just a checkbox. And when it's clicked on, the customer will get that invoice and they can toggle between the different payment methods, choosing Bitcoin on-chain or off-chain or with a blended QR code. So super easy. So that's my main takeaway. Use Bitcoin and see how easy it is. And we can help you get there.
Great. Doug, thank you so much for your time today. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Thanks. Have a good day.
Well, friends, it's a wrap. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Business Bitcoinization Show. If you want to reach out to either me or Doug, you can find those links down in the show notes. And if you're interested in upgrading your retail management system in the future, consider Alpaca. As always, keep building, keep growing, and until next time, keep living and leading.